Thanks for listening to Suicide Buddies. This is Hampton Yund, and I just want to let you guys know, the listeners, that we take this pretty seriously. We joke around about depression and suicide and dark thoughts, but in actuality, we really want our audience to feel safe and secure. And if you're dealing with those sorts of dark, swirling, awful thoughts, we would prefer if you right now put down the podcast and call 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-TALK. It's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and they're great people. They have the resources that can help you deal with the situation and get through it a little bit more medically professional than us. And Dave and I are very happy that you're with us, so keep listening. You know just what to do when I look at you, and I don't wanna go. They call me on the phone and won't leave me alone when I don't wanna go. Faith.
Yes.
How long you been on this force?
What?
This force. You've been on the force how long?
Oh, the force.
You've been on this force how long?
The what?
This force.
The what?
The police force.
The what force?
The police. The police.
Oh, the police force. I've been on the police force a long time, man.
Well, then what the fuck is wrong with you? You got fights in your brain or something? You've been on this force. This police force. For how long? And you got fucking farts in your brain? You got farts for brains?
Man, I was wondering where we were going, and I'm so happy that all that you were trying to do was have an excuse to say farts for brains.
You got farts in your brain?
Dude, one of my favorite things about Boston is that for some reason, and I think it's just because it's one of the places where the stereotypes are true, is... every time I'm there, I meet an extreme Boston stereotype. Like, literally,
oh, yeah.
The first time I ever went to Boston as an adult, I got off the plane, and an old man wearing a yellow rain suit holding a pipe walked up to me and asked me for a lighter. Yeah, totally.
What?
Just like, are you fishing at the airport?
Are you Simpsons character? Because this stereotype is dead on.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I'm hanging out with Apu in the back.
And then the next time I went to Boston, I'm not even kidding you, I was in front of the airport smoking a cigarette. This cop comes up to me. And
he literally got departed right in front of me.
Yeah, and he's dead now. Yeah. And he goes, hey, bud, you got a lighter? And I was like, a lot of people looking for lighters at the airport. And I was like, oh, sure. And a little cigarette. And he's like, the fuck are you doing here? And I was like, oh, I'm, you know, my cousin's wedding. And he's like, okay, what do you do, though? And I was like, I'm a comedian. He's like, no fucking way. He's like this Irish cop.
No fucking way. Here, hold my gun.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I got a joke for you.
I
killed 17 people this year.
I got a joke for you. Hold my gun. Hey, this guy's trying to take a gun from a cop. joke for you.
Dude, he literally said, he's like, yeah, so comedian, how's that going? And I told him, I was like, well, it's a lot of fun. Feels like it's going well. I'm very broke. And he goes, yeah, you know, my fucking buddy's a comedian. And nowadays, seems like even if you get a Comedy Central Presents, you're still fucking broke.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, how did you know that?
How does he know that? Has he been reading my taxes? Oh, man. He bummed me out through that transitive
dude,
power.
Dude, and that was like 7 years ago.
He made me feel bad about my career.
He sent his bumming you out into the future.
It's a beautiful city. Listen, they're the smart ones who thought to put cream inside of a donut. No one was doing Boston cream before Boston, all right? Don't let anybody tell you. New York wasn't doing Boston cream.
Boston do it. Yeah.
They were the first ones. Because Boston comes from the Latin bustin.
Totally. And you
the idea.
Wait.
That the
don't you dare. Don't you dare keep talking after that.
Bustin cream donuts. And the people of Boston, oh, they loved it. Because they all got farts in their heads.
Oh, my God.
They all got farts for brains.
Bustin cream.
Walking by the wharf, you know, and they're eating their cheese donuts, and they go, hey, I think I'm going to be racist today.
I'm so mad about this fucking donut. This Bustin' Cream.
Bustin' Cream, dude. Oh, my God.
Hi, guys.
Hello. Oh, man. Hello, welcome to Suicide Buddies. I'm Dave Ross.
Hi, I'm Hampton Yon.
You found yourself at a mental health comedy podcast where we talk about being good to yourself, staying alive, joke around about dark shit, and also coming.
I'd say we attract the suicide part, and then we also get right into the buddies part.
Absolutely.
This show is also very much largely about us having fun and being friends.
I would honestly say it's 85% buddies and 15% suicide.
Oh, wait. Okay. And we're 70% water. And
right.
I used 10% of my brain.
Uh-huh. And it's 2% milk.
Three-fifths compromise.
Yeah. Right. The Louisiana Purchase.
No way. That's different.
Damn it. Bustin'. Dude, straight bustin'. Our catchphrase used to be, glad you're alive. Now it's going to be straight bustin'. Suicide Buddies, straight bustin' all day. Man, we bustin' your mouth. Suicide Buddies. Oh. Come on, man. No. Try it. Say it. Say it.
All right.
Say it.
Suicide Buddies. Straight up busting in your mouth.
Nope. Not straight up.
No, straight up.
No, up.
Oh, okay. Why? Because that's like, you know, taking a culture by saying straight up.
Yeah.
Dave? Okay. Well, I'll still do it.
I just want you to say it.
All right. Suicide Buddies busting in your ears and mouth.
There you go. Ooh, ears is better. I guess ears is more accurate.
I mean,
also, I feel gross now.
Honestly,
so
if you're
sorry.
Listening to this podcast through your mouth, you're a dumb.
And yeah.
We
also,
can't help you.
You can't hear us, so it doesn't matter. Dude, I'm almost a Boston nerd.
Really?
Dude, Boston really fascinates me.
It's awesome.
It's such a specific, interesting place. Like, my buddy who lived there for a long time sent me a video once of it was a link from a local Boston news channel, and the story was about how a cab driver and a pedicab driver ran into each other in a intersection and got in a fist fight in the middle of the day. And just like the cab driver beat the shit.
Whoa.
It was crazy. It was awful.
You would think, but the pedicab driver would have stronger like legs, and
totally
could do, like, you know,
you could at least run.
You could do like Chun-Li or Cammy like leg blows.
I did
you
think that exact thing.
Like really fast leg moves.
Yeah, like Blanca. He's got, yeah. Totally.
Well, the cab driver was Blanca. That's the problem.
That's the problem. Yeah.
He was a Brazilian man, and he just thought.
And he turned green.
Really angry, and electricity came
off
of
him. And the fucked up thing about what we're saying right now is that the pedicab driver was Chun-Li also. So there was a street fight. I'm actually.
This was literal street fight.
I think I might have just been watching Twitch.
I wasn't in Boston. I was watching my Twitch.
Yeah. But what was really great about it
already
was that it then the video player, it was like the proprietary player of the news website, and it rolled over into the next video, and the video was like man on the street coverage of the incident by their on the street anchor talking to their in studio anchor, and their in studio anchor is like the most stereotypical news person who's just like, we're going out to Bill on the street. Yeah. The guy on the street is the most Boston motherfucker. Like, he's wearing a Red Sox, like, puffy jacket. And
Bill, you're not allowed to wear that.
He's, like, got a hot dog in his mouth. You know what I mean? And he's like, they're like, wow, what happened out there? And he's like, oh, I was nuts. Yeah. Pedicab driver, he's on the ground. Cabbie gets out. Pedicab driver gets his diaper kicked.
He's given the play-by-play.
Yeah, and he called. I guess he wanted to curse, but knew he couldn't, so he kept saying diaper instead of ass.
And then, like, his diaper touches the other guy's diaper.
That's suddenly exactly what
they're rubbing diapers back and forth.
That's literally not even an exaggeration. He's like, yeah, he gets his diaper kicked, man. Cabbie gets out of the car, just starts kicking him right in the diaper. I felt sorry for that man's diaper.
He probably collapsed the inner anus of that man's diaper.
As doctors call it, his diaper was hurt.
You know, Tom, if I were to guess on the nature of the diapers, I would say they're most likely pull-ups. They look like big boys. They think they can do big boy things. But the nature of the diapers are still diapers, but they're pull-ups. So they have the illusion of thinking they're adults.
In fairness, he was wearing a diaper, so maybe he was referring to that. The guy was wearing adult diapers.
We're cutting out a Bill, the big baby. Who's a
big Boston baby here. I'm covering the big diaper cabbie fight. So the cabbie wearing a diaper gets out and kicks the pedicab driver wearing a diaper right in his diaper. That's right. We'll be back with the rest on Diaper Fight.
That's our band.
Diaper Fight is a great name for a podcast.
There we go. Guys, go start it. If you're feeling sad and you feel like you need to be creative, we fully license the name Diaper Fight. You just have to give us like 10% of all earnings. We have to feed Aristotle, please.
Yeah, totally. Well, actually, I don't know. Maybe we should keep Diaper Fight, because one day Hampton and I are going to need to start a podcast where we just make fun of bands that existed from 1992 to 2003.
Cities we very rarely go to. Or have went through once and did a shitty gig.
Based a
whole opinion about a city.
Yeah, that's the worst thing that comedians do.
Yeah, I've noticed this podcast, especially this episode, a lot of lack of mental health so far.
Yeah, totally.
Unless you're going to therapy and like, oh, I love Boston so much. Or,
I love Boston, it's pissing me off.
How much I hate it. I want a podcast that addresses it.
Hampton, plug some shit. Go.
Oh,
plugs, go.
Guys, I have a website.
Plugs are over.
Totally renovated. Shit. Do you work for Google? Shut down my website. Guys, check out my website, hamptonyacht.com. I put up dates. I'm doing a lot of local shows, and I'm going to be doing some shows on the road. I think it's going to be Arlington, Virginia, May 10th and 11th. So get the word out for that now. But I also put up like a lot of videos on my website and stuff. So check it out.
Buy his album, dude. Buy that album, though.
But more importantly, come out.
Wait, that's not more important. Okay. Definitely buy Abel from Hampton Yacht. But yes, my album recording is February 12th at the Echo in LA. Two shows, 8 and 10 p.m. Links to buy tickets are on the front of my website, davetotheross.com.
Yeah, we got websites.
DAVETOTHEROSS.com. Also, I'm practicing the album a little bit over the next 2 weeks. The day this comes out, Thursday, January 24th, starts my weekend at Go Bananas in Cincinnati. So nice. If you're in the Cincinnati area, come out. I'm doing 6 shows from Thursday to Sunday. And then also, I've got a couple shows in Austin and a show in Houston and some shows in Northern California after that to run the album. But also, if you're in Northern California and you come to that, also please drive south to my show at the Echo, because I would really want to pack it out.
Damn,
and
dude.
Make it full. Yeah,
that's a lot, like right around the corner. Like your album recording is like 2 weeks away or something.
Three weeks.
Shit, man.
No, totally, I got a lot going on.
Go Bananas is such a great club.
It's
like the audience just shows up. Like they're comedy savvy for the most part.
Totally.
So it's like anything on top of that who's like a fan of the podcast would be like amazing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. If you listen to the podcast, I would love to meet you on the road. Please come say hi.
When I went, which is like kind of middle of winter.
Yeah, it's going to be weird.
Yeah, I missed my first show because of like the flight got canceled due to snow.
Oh, shit.
And so I showed up. They still paid me. I was featuring for Andy Haynes.
Oh, okay. This is at Go Bananas?
Yeah, it was the best, man. Like, we just ate weed gummies and watched The Raid for the first time together.
Oh, my God.
Me and Andy Haynes, and just hung out the entire weekend.
That's great.
It was so fun.
I love Cincinnati. I like their scene a lot, and I also like the city a lot. And so it's one of my favorite places to go for comedy, actually, because they have, like, a bunch of really funny comics who are sweet people. And I'm just pumped. Gonna be
name
good shows.
Name one.
Goodrich Gevaert lives there now, dude.
All right, fuck
He's
you.
He's so funny. Carl Spaeth, Rand Barnicklow. It's a good town. Yeah, I'll name some more.
We aren't gonna do a suicide this week. We're just gonna do
no.
Kind of
we're gonna
up.
Stay alive this week.
we're gonna just do the bare minimum to stay alive.
We hadn't sat and talked about where we each are at mentally in a minute, so we're going to do that.
You go first.
Well, let's do our possible ad. You know, let's take a break real quick, and then we'll come back and do it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
takes a part of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, we should re-record that song, but just with one of us going, yeah.
Ooh,
that's if corn were sexy, sexy corn. You know what I mean?
They tried so hard.
They did.
Yeah.
And they failed, because I never fucked them.
Yeah, I'd say they Fieldy was a handicap.
Totally.
Fieldy.
And also, they're kind of their whole thing that they got going on.
Oh, yeah. Every part of them actually kind of was a hindrance.
Except I went to see Korn once with a girl I was dating, and she literally said, "God, Jonathan Davis is so hot." And it's one of the only times someone has commented on someone's looks positively in my life where I said, "What?" And it's not even like, yeah, I get, you know, it takes all kinds and people are beautiful, but he just kind of purposely looks like shit.
Yeah, like, don't act like that's his natural look.
Yeah.
That's not just how he is. This is a defiant look that I can be like, that looks bad.
Yeah, yeah. He has like eyeshadow that's bad.
Did you get corn in your shit?
Yeah, I got Dave, totally.
Dave, did you get corn in your shit?
Corn with a K and shit with a Z.
I guess the big news here.
What's
folks,
the big news?
The big news is, I'll tell you what the big news is.
Fat
the
news.
The big news is Dave has quit smoking forever.
For 4 days. I'm 4 days in. So we were recording this like while I'm in the throes of it.
Yeah, you're rolling around on the ground and you're sweating.
Totally,
dude. You're watching Requiem for a Dream.
I'm carving tobacco into my forehead. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I cut
my own arm off and put myself in jail.
Don't watch that movie, guys.
That movie is so good.
It's a one-time watch.
Don't watch it, ever.
It's a one-time watch, if.
God damn it.
But dude, yeah, I mean, you were kind of joking around that it's like feeling weird.
I feel like I'm on mushrooms. It's crazy.
What do you mean? Like,
it's hard to describe. Like,
does everything have a vibration like mushrooms? Like, that happens to me.
Well, it's just like you, even though cigarettes don't really get you high, you get a head rush sometimes. But they don't really get you high. It still is a drug. And so without you really knowing it, you're in another state of mind all the time.
Totally.
Because you smoke cigarettes all the time. So now I am not in that state of mind.
Hmm.
And it's very noticeable because it was jarring. So it's not really, I feel like kind of the opposite of high, which is, I just feel different.
You're getting high on life.
Oh,
I literally do think that is what people mean, because it's like feeling sick almost from a drug.
Right.
It's the same as when you're quitting it and you start to feel sick. Like,
yes.
It's like the start and the end kind of feel the same, of this like rush of this shit entering and leaving your body.
Totally. It's like my brain is climbing out of a well and it's like, ooh, what's this? It really does feel like my skin and brain are expanding.
Yeah.
That's constantly throughout the day.
I mean, here's how you know, like, cigarettes are fucking bad. All the advertising, for one.
Cancer.
But also. Yeah. Yeah. But, like, every time I've bummed, like, one off of you, like, usually when I've taken a big break, it's like I do get crazy lightheaded.
Yeah.
Feel a little ill. And then the next day, it is nonstop diarrhea.
Oh, wow.
It's literally like every time I make this mistake, which has been 3,000 times at this point, that I've purposely given myself diarrhea.
Dude, you know what's funny?
But I'm saying it happens a lot. Yeah.
I was, one of the reasons I was worried about quitting smoking is that I've been having stomach problems, especially the past like 4 or 5 years. And I was worried, and I have like, one of those problems is I'll get really bad constipation sometimes. And I was really worried that if I quit, because it's such a diuretic, that I would just get really constipated. And and honestly, it's the first time in years I've been just shitting right.
Oh my God.
And it's so funny, like, you don't even think of it. Just because something's a diuretic doesn't mean it's not fucking you up. And it's been fucking me up for years. And this whole time I've been like, well, I shouldn't quit. I'll get all fucked up. And it was literally the reason.
And the reason is you.
Nice, dude.
And the reason is... You're pointing to a cigarette.
And the reason is me.
The reason is me.
Not you. I have to break up with you, and the reason is me.
It's not you, it's me.
Yeah. I I was forced to quit smoking. And it makes sense. Yeah, because, well, I wasn't forced to, but I like, I've just had like, it's funny because things in a grand sense are going, we're catching up about our mental health. Mm-hmm. I feel better than ever in a general sense. But
better than Ezra?
I feel better than Ezra. I feel
poor Ezra.
Good, you know? you get it. Yeah. Y'all been 1990s.
Now that's what I call y'all now ever that, been 90. No, I mean, no, the 90s.
Now that's what I call your sign.
Get there, Dave.
Here's y'all ever.
Dismount.
No, I refuse. I refuse is my catchphrase. Will you be nice to me? I refuse. Will you stop being racist? I refuse. Get it.
it took me a real second to get that. That's really good.
I refuse. hey, will you try to write good comedy and be insightful and thoughtful? I refuse. but I've had, for whatever reason, just a year that's been difficult. Mm-hmm. And I don't even mean, I mean because of external factors, you know? I think we talk a lot on this podcast about things that sort of, you get caught up mentally. Sure. I mean, depression and anxiety and things like that. But literally, I've just had difficult things happen. Yeah. I got sick on like January 2nd. And then I did not stop being sick. I stopped a little bit, and then immediately I got a little better, and then immediately I got a sinus infection.
Mm.
And that would just not end.
Mm, tasty.
And I... my sickness was like, I refuse. All right.
One time I had a sinus infection that made my entire side of my face swell up.
Dude, it
sucks. It looked like a bee sting. Like, it just was insane.
Yeah, and so... And I'm a smoker, and so I kept cutting down my smoking, because in the past when I get a sinus infection, I just like back off from smoking for a second.
Mm-hmm. Go right back in.
And go right back in. But it just wouldn't get better.
Uh-huh.
And even though I was down to like a cigarette a day, and I was like, okay, well, I guess I have to quit. Especially since I'm recording the album February 12th. Mm-hmm. I have this touring, which means not only will I be getting on planes, which can make you sicker, also the climates I'm going to will change all the time, which makes you sick.
That fucks me up.
I'll lose sleep. My diet will be weird. And so I don't want to be sick for a month and a half.
Dude, make it the theme of the album.
Sick boy.
Yeah.
He's sneeze comedy. You feel like you got boogers all over you.
Live and sick at the Echo.
Man. Yeah.
Surround snot. Listen to it. Surround snot.
Dude, I think the lead singer of that band, Snot, by the way, did he commit suicide?
I don't know.
I remember that he died, but I don't remember how. But I do remember...
Probably from snot overdose, snorting all that snot. Son, you've been snorting snot tonight. You high on boogers. Sorry.
Oh, man.
Red means stop, green means go. Those are the color of our microphones.
That's true. I have a green microphone.
I have a red one.
But I always thought, like, you know, obviously it sucks that that guy died, but their music was so nu metal. And when he died, all of the nu metal bands came out and were like, we're so sad.
Really?
Yeah. And they, like, recorded an album dedicated to him. It was all very sweet and wonderful and just beautiful, but it was also all nu metal. And so it was just a really crazy tribute where they're just like, we love you. It's all, like, rap rock about how they love this rap rock guy.
Into the sound of silence under
Man, they suck. Anyway, like, they're not.
I'll be watching.
He just blew someone's car speaker straight out.
Yeah, I mean,
nah, dude.
I mean, quitting smoking is really hard. That's funny. My dad is a lifelong smoker. Mm-hmm. He smokes like at least a pack a day. And I mean, he's quit, but it was always following a sickness. And from his personality, a lot of us were always like, yeah, you'll quit, sure. You know, like, you know, yeah. we tried to get him to quit, and, you know, it just was a no-go for so long.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wish you the, I wish you well with it, you know?
Thanks, dude. Well, you know, the one thing that sucks is, I was telling Aristotle this just before. So tomorrow, and sadly, this will already have happened by the time this episode comes out, so I can't invite you to it, but Comedy Central is doing this new, like, short set stand-up series that's only digital, but it's cool. They're like really going all out for it, and yeah, I'm stoked to do it. I'm doing it tomorrow, and tomorrow is also day 5 of quitting smoking.
Oh shit.
And historically, like, if you read about it and or talk to someone who has quit, everyone will tell you day 5 is the hard day, the hardest, because day 5 you tend to get really depressed.
Wow.
And I remember one time I quit, and I very, very clearly remember being at my desk at my job and feeling it was complete. I was completely suicidal.
Gotcha.
All that I was thinking about was killing myself. And it was just like, I have no friends. I am nothing. I am no one. I deserve nothing. I have no worth. Like, every version of that thought. I'm garbage.
Hey, Dave, let's start a suicide podcast.
Totally.
Cha-ching.
But I also knew it was chemical because I had generally been feeling okay. And I remember having the thought, if I felt like this for a few more days,
oh my God,
I would take my own life. Because it was so bottom of a well. Evil, fucking not worth it.
How were you feeling about that job at the time?
Oh, bad.
You didn't like the job?
Oh, I hated it. Yeah.
I mean, there's like a lot of factors going on in your life maybe at the time.
That's true.
And then it's like the nicotine is just more like pushing the accelerator pad.
Yeah.
Making it just grow and swell a little bit.
I think you're probably right. Yeah, I'm curious. Well, so I'm taping that thing. Mm-hmm. And if I do hit that kind of depression, to a point where I feel like it's going to affect my performance on that thing, I'm going to have a cigarette. Because that's really important to me to do well on that.
So you had a cigarette. You had a cigarette. You had a cigarette. You got a cigarette.
So you lied to us about quitting.
Yeah, I know.
So you're full of fucking shit.
Dude, you can't waver, man. The fans, man.
I know,
the
dude.
The fans.
You can't be a liar. This isn't lying, buddies.
This isn't lying, buddies.
Suicide liars.
I know it's hard. When did you start smoking?
Well, I started when I was 18. Okay. Or 17, I guess.
It's young, for sure.
And then
I don't know.
I quit.
About that. Why did I say that? I said that's young. And I'm like, wait a second. That's probably not. I bet people start way younger.
A lot of people start way younger.
And nobody starts late. Like, no one's starting at 30.
Yeah, 18 is, I think, about the latest that people start.
Yeah. Interesting. You've been putting it off. All
though
of a sudden,
I will say this.
No,
Jeff Wattenhofer, who's a good friend of ours, who's really funny. We used to run a show together at downtown LA called Holy Fuck.
He's awesome.
And we got sponsored by an early e-vape, like e-cigarette.
Uh-huh.
And so they gave us a bunch of free ones, and Jeff just started smoking it, and he had never been a smoker, and he got addicted to nicotine.
Boom! Yeah. Take that, idiot!
Yeah, it was crazy.
You fucking idiot!
I was like, why did you do that?
So
he's like,
funny.
I don't know. It's the worst decision
That's
I ever
you
made.
Do, guys, if you want to quit smoking, just start vaping. Boom, done. You're done smoking. There's
also,
no
if you
more...
want to start smoking, you can start vaping.
I like that there were early reports of people getting like popcorn lung, I think was the thing.
Oh,
it's
my
like
God.
All this buildup of what the shit you're vaping is.
Totally. It's obviously bad for you. Everything that people say is fine, 10 years later, it's like, oh, that was bad. Don't do that.
Oh, shit. We got Mad Men. We got Mad Men into thinking vaping is cool.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, have you seen Doonesbury ever?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I love politics.
Doonesbury, man. There's a character who's a
cigarette. Yeah, I remember
this. And I'm just wondering if this is going to trigger you if I show you this guy.
No, I'm fine. I've been standing around people smoking. It's fine.
Really?
Yeah.
You can still hang out like close to him?
I still have a pack at my house.
Okay, boom.
I kind of like it, actually.
Dave, what do you feel when you look at this Doonesbury character?
I want to hang out with that guy. Oh, man.
I don't know how to feel.
Do you have his number? Fuck, dude. That guy seems so cool and nice. Oh, look at his head. It's smoking.
How did they not make a Doonesbury animated children's movie with this character?
If it
Hi,
just,
kids. I'm Siggy.
If they just made a movie just about the cigarette, that would be so funny.
You learn that the cigarette has emotions. He's like, I don't think anyone's ever going to get addicted to me.
Oh, Siggy.
That's hilarious.
You have to believe
in
yourself.
It's the sequel to Inside Out.
Inside Out we two we introduce a cigarette
Inside
character.
Out two cigarette
I mean I understand the temptation of any teen to just smoke because you have friends who smoke. I mean, would you say it was just that, like, all your friends are smoking, you're hanging out at shows? And
I probably everyone did when they were young, but I definitely in a big way had like no understanding of the fact that I would ever die. I like really didn't understand consequences at all.
You thought you'd live forever.
Yeah.
Whereas I couldn't wait to die.
Wow.
At that age. I was so like, I'm going to be dead by the time I'm 30 for sure. And I hope it's sooner.
Interesting. I definitely had like very, very suicidal times back then.
Yeah. But you also were like that impervious youth, you know?
Yeah. And it wasn't like I didn't walk around thinking I'm going to live forever. I could do anything.
I'm going to punch a cop.
Exactly. Yeah, I wasn't like I was still afraid of being in trouble or people hating me. Mm-hmm. And I thought they did. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't really conceived of the fact that there were consequences. Mm-hmm. So I started smoking because I loved smoking weed. I smoked weed from when I was like 17 to 19. I smoked weed all day, every day.
Wow. I want to hang out with that Dave.
Dude, he was cool.
That's
man.
The Dave I can chill.
He had this is true. That Dave had a fucking bong that was on the bottom of it, dude. It was a fucking duck with a joint in its mouth, dude.
Man, you were so cool.
I was cool as fuck. And then not long after that, I was at a head shop with my friend Bobby, and we saw a four-tube hookah that was in the shape of an alien head, and we bought it, dude.
Big X-Files fans, right?
Hell yeah. And then we smoked out of it with our friends Austin and Lewis.
Did you get high into outer space?
Yeah, man. That alien fucking head? Yeah, dude, that fucking alien hookah took us to Mars, dude.
I hope they grow weed on Mars first.
Man, I hope heaven has weed.
All right, Dave, I know you have also quit weed. Mm-hmm. So here's a picture of the Doonesbury character cigarette guy.
Hanging out with a joint?
The Doonesbury weed joint guy.
What?
Are you getting triggered by this?
Dude, the cigarette's name is Mr. Butts? That's so funny.
I should buy you this. It's a book.
We need to take a photo. We do need to buy this. You're smoking now, Mr. Butts is the name of the book.
Yeah.
Damn.
Man, Doonesbury.
What's his first name? Seymour? Come on.
Don't defame the legendary Seymour Butts.
Seymour Butts.
He took it on the chin for the rest of porn stars. Like, I feel like all the porn stars who still do pun names, you're taking it for the team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Seymour Butts. Lethal Weapons.
Same with roller derby players who still do puns. By the way, my favorite... I don't know if you go to roller derby, if you're listening, it's so much fun. And they're all crazy puns. Like one of my favorites is Wolverine. That's a really good one.
Hell yeah.
They're all crazy puns. But then there's one at the roller derby league I go to, there's one that's not a pun, and her name is just Chainsaw Guts Fuck.
I don't get it. Every time she's passing by on the rake. Oh, wait, I don't get your name. I'll wait for her to come back around. What does your name mean? Okay. God damn, they're going fast. Excuse me, ma'am. Can I marry you?
We're talking about something. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Smoking weed, dude. Fuck
basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I still smoke weed. I can't stop. Can't stop.
Can't stop. Yeah, well...
I actually just like it. I've really toned it down, basically, like, and I don't know.
How are you feeling lately?
Oh, whoa.
Sorry.
How
much does your butt fart?
Well, you would know they're all in your fucking brain.
Oh, that's true.
All those farts I make.
You got smart farts, though.
I'm doing good. Like, smarts. I really have no... I have no complaints except for this fucking podcast.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Bring back Jake. Where is Jake? Jake.
You know what's funny? Like, that's an obvious joke, and we've been doing this podcast, and we're partners in it, but that still hurt my feelings.
Yes! I'm so fucking glad I got you roasted.
Ouch.
Battled. Roasted and battled.
Take
I'm
it back.
Good.
Apologize.
I missed.
You're good? Well, yeah, no, because literally the last time you and I talked about you like mental health wise, like last year, I think we both for a while were really going through it. But near the end of the year, I don't know if I've talked about it yet, I really was coming out of it in a big way. And then more and more, and I'm happy to talk about that. But you, I like, we're having a really rough time.
Yeah.
And how are you feeling?
I think, you know, maybe how I view my own mental health is that I just have depression, right? And like, mm-hmm. I'll get depressed, you know, even in the best circumstances of my life, I'm going to get depressed. But yeah, during that time, it was just the roughest, like circumstantial kind of things happening.
Sure.
So there was a lot to like
latch on to
and get my anxiety up. But it's like, it is kind of funny that like, even in kind of a vacuum, I'm like, what is the point of anything? And then I get like, which is actually more like built off of anxiety. I really have been making this connection recently that I really think anxiety and depression are basically two terms describing the same one thing.
I think so too.
You get very anxious about things and then it gets depressing, the overbearing nature of it, you know, and you shut down.
I would put rage in that category too. I think all three of those things come from a very similar place.
Rage?
Yeah.
Where so? I'm interested.
Well, like, I don't know, maybe to me... and maybe I'm just wrong about this, but to me, rage is to anger as depression is to sadness. Like, whereas like sadness can just happen because of circumstances. Depression is another thing. It's chemical.
Oh, wow.
It's in you.
Oh,
rage is like
it's like a burning.
Is a thing that's coming from somewhere else. Why it's so extreme.
Needs to be put out. And it's like,
you have to manage it.
It just lasts.
And it like, anxiety, depression, and rage, when I'm going through it, it could manifest itself as any of those three things or all of them or some of them.
Well, I don't know, man. Actually, I mean, I'm not, I just think it's interesting maybe if we have a different view of it in a sense, like how we both do it. Like I
totally.
Think, not that you're like an angry guy or anything like that, but I think that's how you process it. That's where you go to.
Sure.
My thing is to completely shut down, basically.
Right.
So I just hang in my depression and I push people away and I think I don't have any worth and I don't see the point of engaging.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, let me just decay.
Sure.
Know? So it's entropy, sort of, as opposed to using that as like, and I'm mad about this situation and, you know... I guess
I relate really hard to you saying shutting down because I do that a lot.
Yeah, I definitely think it gets to rage, but I just don't know how many times I've gotten there. You know, I seem to just get into entropy and then something happens and gets me out, you know, of it, or I move on or something, you know.
Right.
I've been lucky enough.
Do you feel like you, that sort of cycle that you were in last year, are you sort of still in that place or are you pulling out of it a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, that would be, for me, was just based mostly on career,
okay.
If I'm being honest. Yeah. It was being like kind of like shut out of things, mostly money in a lot of ways, you know what I mean?
Well, it's a huge concern.
Yeah, yeah. It was like I literally lost like 90% of my income or something. I didn't lose any jobs. I just lost 90% of my income.
Yeah.
And so it's like...
isn't that crazy? Sorry for cutting you off, but like... we've probably said this on the podcast before, but it's true that money can't buy happiness, but there also is a certain amount of money you need to be happy.
I got to go to ArcLight and see.
Yeah, right.
No, it's anxiety. You know what
exactly.
I mean? So it's like one of the most common nightmares for people to have is like their teeth are falling out because they're worried about money.
I mean,
it's like if society's going to build up capitalism and your self-worth based off of like, you know, having money, but let alone just feeding yourself is an anxiety, right? So yeah, there's double. It's not only just your sustenance, but it's also your image.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a huge blow to the psyche, you know?
Yeah.
So it gets, I don't know, it's a stressful thing. But I also, during the time, I had to process it and really go like, this is circumstantial. This isn't the world saying you're no good and like, we'll never work you again or whatever. You know, like, it's just, I have to push it into positive ways. So the whole year has been like focusing on this podcast, focusing on getting the album done. Yeah. And then like focusing on like
noise. Booking,
like editing, learning how to edit video and like booking road dates and stuff. So it was all positive. And now in the new year, it's funny. Like, I have been in this good state because a lot of stuff got settled right before my manager and everyone takes a break for the holidays.
Yeah.
And then right after, it's still good news. Like a club, you know, calling me up and being like, we want to work you. Like,
great.
It's like little shit like that helps build. But to be fair, that, again, that's circumstantial. So it's like, I can't let that define why I'm good or now I'm in a good place.
Totally. Yeah. You have to remember that the depression comes from a chemical place. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Because it does. Yeah, I don't know, man.
But, for me,
because
at least,
I do see depression and sadness as another thing. If you have depression, you're just going to feel bad at times. But then also, every person gets sad because of external circumstances. And then if you're a depressed person, it's worse.
It's the anxiety.
You just have to remember to not like to like work on yourself and not really lose it, because you're just the type of person who sadness is going to be harder for you.
I actually have this weird, I don't know if we've talked about this, but yeah, in this linking of anxiety and depression, I think it really comes from like an evolutionary like standpoint, is that humans develop consciousness, this ability to think a bit ahead in the future, you know, like, you know, a child, you know, has no ability to wait for a reward. It's like, we learn and develop this behavior. Mm-hmm. And like, you can't like, you know, if you offer a treat to a dog, the dog's not going to be like, I'm going to save that for later. You know, like, he's either full or what, you know,
right. Like,
so humans have this ability to foresee problems, foresee things. And I think just there's a number of people in that's going to be too anxious.
Yeah.
We think too much about all the problems.
It's all a spectrum.
And we know enough about, like, you know, it, through experience, that it could likely go bad, could go wrong.
Yeah.
And so it gets depressing and becomes, like, you know, a form of nihilism, you know? You're just like, what's the point?
Yeah, it's interesting. You, like, throughout your life, and I'm sure some of it is evolutionary, too, you just build up these patterns. And I do wonder, like, I'm a very obsessive person. Mm-hmm. And definitely a lot of the problems that I've had, a lot of the mental problems I've had, come from literally like fixating and obsessing. And I do wonder if I just like learned to do that when I was young. I just like liked to think or whatever, or I would get
this
really,
boy likes to think.
I'm a
get him.
Thinker. And I would, or I get really interested in specific things. And then I just at a young age, like built up pathways to do that. And then that's how you operate. And then once you realize that, you have to manage it. And you like, the intention was never negative, but it just happens that way. It's so frustrating.
I was thinking like, I was going to ask a very obvious question, which is just like, did you smoke ever, you know, when you get anxious, would you smoke?
Absolutely.
And it's like, but to be fair, when people smoke enough, it's like enough people are going to be like, well, you smoking because you're anxious right now.
Right.
It's like, no, I just want to smoke. It's time to smoke.
Definitely, like it feeds my anxiety and it helps like relieve it too. But it definitely came from an obsessive place. Like mostly, what it would do is it would solve boredom. I mean, honestly, quitting is so big for me in a lot of ways. Like I'm already more productive because I could literally waste hours just like going out and having a cigarette. That spends 5 minutes.
Yeah,
coming inside. And after that resets the clock, and then I just kind of chill and look at my phone, and then there, like 15 minutes goes by, and I'm like, I'm gonna have another cigarette. And just like I lose a whole fucking day. Just
murdering
doing that.
Time.
Yeah. Just slaughtering my own life. Yeah, just like, removing.
How do I get this time done?
Gone. Yeah. Yeah. Take it off. I got to get this time off my plate.
It's like you're in prison. Your own life is yeah. in prison. Totally. How do I get done with the time? I'm just trying to pass the time. Get I'm it just, done. Do my time.
I'm just trying to wait, just not feel this until something good that feels good just happens. that's kind of how it feels, yeah.
Yeah, that's how I define my younger self.
And in the past, I'm like, actually, this is a good segue into like how I've been feeling in general. In the past, when I've quit, I like that obsession has to be replaced. Mm-hmm.
Dude, lollipops. You yes. should become a lollipop totally. Guy.
Dude, dude, walk around with a whole full glass of sugar. And just take a sip on that whenever you want.
Oh, no, wait. Popsicles.
Yeah.
You're a popsicle guy.
Yeah, totally. Brush your teeth every time you want a cigarette.
Use Quip, guys.
Quip.
Quip.com.
In the past, like, I would replace it with another vice. Like, I would drink a fuckload of coffee. Mm. Or, like, one time I quit, I just started drinking a lot of Diet Coke, which was way worse. Mm. Drinking that much caffeine and aspartame is terrible for you.
I don't know. Ask Donald Rumsfeld. I think it's good.
He's now, the guy that no, has, you're right.
He's
totally.
He's the guy that made aspartame.
Basically. Donald Rumsfeld invented aspartame?
He basically, like, funded the company.
Really?
Yeah.
God, he's awful.
God, he's awful.
He's such a piece of shit in so many ways.
Yeah, there's a really funny documentary that came out maybe like a year or two ago where he just is talking to the camera. He doesn't realize he's like saying insanely bad shit.
All those guys. Did you see that fucking George W. Bush took free pizzas to his Secret Service detail because they were working for free during the government shutdown?
Aww.
It's like, yeah, that's sweet.
Well, yeah.
But also... It's just pizza, man. Like, do you? You're rich. I was just saw it and was like, you tone deaf fucking moron. You just dip back into the news to remind us you're a dumbass. They want pizza. They want money. You fucking idiot.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's
they'll
a good point.
Die for you.
My and awe you're was just pizza? Only about the employees not getting paid. You're right. Oh, that's such a good point. He has millions of dollars.
He's
he
a millionaire.
Be paying their wage.
Yeah. Just what give him
that?
Money.
Is that just a dumb bootstraps pride thing of like they shouldn't work for a job that doesn't pay them if they don't want to get paid? They shouldn't protect my life if they didn't want to get paid.
Totally.
That's a dumb move. Bootstraps.
No, like it's a P. That's hilarious. Yeah, Republican bullshit. No, and then he captioned it like we got to get this government shutdown ending. It's not fair. These people aren't getting paid, and so it was a whole PR stunt for him to look cool, and people bought it. But fuck him. Give them money, you. Former president and baseball team owner whose grandfather sold weapons to the Nazis, you piece of shit.
Dude, I don't know. I don't know if you saw the new movie Vice.
I didn't see it yet. I want to see it.
Christian Bale is such a method actor. He actually killed 600,000 Iraqis for the part.
Damn.
He murdered.
And gained all that weight.
Gained all the weight. Murdered the Iraqis.
Wow.
Erased it from his conscience.
He's such a good actor.
He's good.
Such
he's
a good actor.
Batman. Then
Batman.
This.
Batman. Batman.
Batman.
Huey Lewis and the News murderer guy. Good at that, man. Good at that.
Oh, yeah.
American sociopath.
American murder man.
American
death? Murder man. I like to watch that movie while I fall asleep.
American John Wayne Gacy, but thinner. And not a clown.
Yeah, Christian Bale seems like a totally normal dude who can lose 100 pounds and gain 100 pounds of muscle and yell at PAs as they
totally.
Walk in the distance.
Yeah, totally.
He Did you know... Oh, what, sorry, go
well,
on.
Nah, dude.
It's really fucking interesting. Let's Christian Bale, like, cut out his sister and his mom from his life.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, basically they were at a hotel, and it devolved into a screaming argument. They said something dismissive about his wife while she was there, and he's just like...
Cut him out.
You're fucking done! Like, he just screamed. Like, security had to come in and, like, break it up, and then, like, they've never talked again.
Damn.
He seems like a chill Batman.
Totally, dude. Maybe he is Batman. Have you ever seen him and Batman in the same room?
Well, it's an interesting thought that if Batman grew up like with his parents,
and he would be a spoiled fuck.
I fucking hate you,
dude. That's so
I wish
funny.
You were dead.
The like what Bruce Wayne would be like if his parents didn't die? Just the biggest piece of shit ever. He'd be George W. Bush.
Shut up, Mom. I'm going to get my dick sucked in a Maserati. Fuck you. I wish you were dead.
Mom, you know I'm afraid of bats. I'm afraid of bats.
Gacks up a line of coke.
Send me more models.
What's weird is I hate jokes and riddles. I don't enjoy solving them now.
Where's Rachel? I want to know where Rachel is. I remember what I was talking about. So in the past, I would replace smoking with another vice. Mm. And
starring Dick Cheney.
God damn it.
Dick Cheney played Christian Bale for that movie. All right. Yeah. Switch it.
You hear that Dick Cheney lost all that weight?
I totally get you about switching because
I know I have this obsession thing, and also like, okay, so what I did was I bought a huge case of water, and now every time I want a cigarette, I just grab a bottle of water.
Shut up.
Yeah. And so
Hampton's helpful hits. Holy fucking
And I've been
shit.
Trying to use it to like train myself to drink a lot more water at the same time I'm quitting smoking.
That's actually not a, like, that sounds like it makes so much sense.
Yeah, I have. See, oh, I have another bottle of water in my bag.
You have two bottles of water.
Yeah, yeah. And so,
that's adorable.
But that's like, it's weird, man. I don't know. I guess I want to use that as a way to say, like, in so many ways, I am truly feeling the repercussions of therapy. Mm. It's very noticeable. And it's like, I am definitely a case of therapy working. And we say go to therapy on this podcast a lot, but I just like, that's an obvious, I am obviously getting better if I am able to do that. It's true.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, something that happened to me, that I had a really fucking rough year mentally. I had some shit happen that I maybe one day we'll talk about that like really fucking sent me into a tailspin. I took comedy off. It was really difficult. And time to record an album. Yeah, I like really, really like family stuff, life stuff, career stuff. It all came at me, and I like needed to take a breather from pushing on my career. And I did, and I started to feel better near the end of the year. And in that, it hit me like, I don't know, I am now feeling the next level of therapy working. Because therapy isn't that magic thing like movies makes it seem. Like you go for a year, and then you have a breakthrough, and you're like,
right,
it was that time my dad threw a pig at me. And
yes, now run to him, Clarice.
Yeah.
Run to your father. Tell him about the pigs. Fly, little bird, fly. Fly away.
And that's the end of the movie. Everything is solved.
Loudness of the lambs. Lambs are loud. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Extremely everything and incredibly solved.
No, yeah, it is funny. It's like you're totally right. When I went to therapy, I'd say the breakthrough was over time.
Yes.
Afterwards, just a slow realization of like, I've figured out my triggers of what's upsetting me or gets me anxious, and how can I negotiate that, and why do I have that? And after that, it was like, okay, well, now I agree with you. Then now I could see going into a next stage of therapy. Okay, I've worked through that. Here's the next shit I want to work
through. Yeah, that's I definitely went through this period after a couple years of being in therapy where I just noticed that when I would get anxious, another voice would pop into my head and be like, you do this all the time. Hmm. That was the first thing that happened.
It was my mother.
And
you do this all the time, Dave.
It was actually. It was my mother.
My mom.
But in the shape of a cigarette.
Yeah, Mrs. Mother's Butts. Cigarette. Mrs. Butts.
Yeah. It was Mrs. Butts in my head. No, and that would like made it easier because I would recognize it. And then I started noticing, like a couple years after that, started noticing myself like really cope. Like I would get in the like pattern of thought, like everybody hates. Like one of them is like that person looked at me weird. They're mad at me. Sure. Everyone's mad at me. Everyone hates me. I'm a piece of shit. Like that's and then I started noticing that I would go like, that person's looking at me weird. And immediately I would go, are they? And if they are, does that matter?
Yeah.
And then now I just noticed myself this year being like rather than it being a conversation, just in general being like, I think I might be fine. And I'm still definitely wired depressed, and I will be dealing with depression. But it's like a next level up of like, I've had an more than ever positive thoughts that is definitely therapy, yeah. like forcing it to happen. And it's cool. It's just things are just a little easier.
Hey, kid, you want a cigarette?
Yes. Yes, yes.
Dave, what I'm asking is if an older man who seems cool walks up to you and goes, hey, little kid, hey, little boy.
Want a dick to suck?
I got something you can smoke. This dick.
That was maybe not something to make light of. I'm sorry.
What? Strangers walking up.
And child molestation? Yeah. Well, I just realized,
I think the jury's out. I think there's still a lot of back and forth on if it's bad or good.
Yeah, no, you're right.
We have
totally.
To clarify.
Yeah. Yeah, no, again, not to say I'm definitely going to have real dark, low, fucked up times, but it's just a thing I've noticed where it's like a little easier.
Yeah.
You should go to therapy. I can't stress it enough. It really helps me, specifically.
This came up recently just in talking with people. Like, I also do want to advocate that, like, I hear you that sometimes, like, it's not going to be the right therapist.
Yes.
And it's like they're asking for a lot of trust and everything like that. And when you feel... you know, like, you've given it a decent shot, like, feel free to move on, you know what I mean, to someone else. Like, it does require a lot of work, but you got to make sure it's not somebody who's kind of just giving you like crazy information.
Yeah,
because I feel like, say, like with therapy, what's really important is if you are like bipolar or like have like neurological like problems going on, like, it's a really necessary component to, as well as medication. But then again, like, say with circumstantial things, it's like, well, at a certain point, you're kind of just trusting that person's judgment on like a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it's funny because like I was talking about Andy Haynes earlier, and like he'd posted a tweet. I think it saved it, but it's like he was talking about like, you know, this, that, you know, it's not always going to be the right therapist. And he was like, because mine just killed himself. And like another guy chimed in. And it's like, yeah, mine's like addicted to shit now. And then when I read that, I was like, I remembered that my therapist, who did help me through a long period of time, after I finished therapy, I Googled their name for the first time, and an IMDb page came up, and she had been trying to be an actress for like
the whole time.
15 years.
Whoa.
Yeah, like headshot up, and I was like, I've been listening to a person who can't like book a Snickers audition or some shit.
Well,
and I'm not saying that's just totally dismissed, but it did make me go, wait, like I felt like, oh, wait, who was
that? That doesn't necessarily mean they weren't good at what they do.
No, I know. I took a lot out of it.
Yeah. You know, well, then that means that they were good at it, at least for you. I mean, that's just perfect, though. Well,
we'll
no one's perfect.
Know.
I mean, your therapist is like your parents. They're just people. They're going to fuck up, you know?
No, my parents are perfect.
You're right. No.
Chainsmoke.
It shows.
They were born on Krypton.
Chainsmoke. Born on Krypton.
Born on Krypton. Shot me off.
Yeah.
The
no, I actually, I know you're right, Hampton, but I don't want people who are like.
Oh, I know.
Because something that you do when you're depressed is you make excuses to not go to therapy. I did it for years.
Gotcha.
And like, yeah, hear what Hampton's saying, but take it as like, go and pay attention to what you need. Because the thing is, it is difficult because your first therapist might not be the one who's right for you. The second therapist I ever had is the one I'm still with. And I think she's great and very good for me. But my first one did two things. First of all, I don't operate very well not taking blame. Mm-hmm. I've always been pretty good about, like, if something's my fault, not expanding that to mean I should die. And it's kind of important to me because I think because I derive self-worth from being in control of some things.
Is this how you became alt-right?
Yeah, so I'm in control of everything.
I never feel bad anymore.
Yeah.
Now I hear you. Yeah, yeah.
So like I would tell her things that I did and she would be like, "You got to stop blaming yourself." And I would be like, I mean, I am blaming myself, but also it's fine. Everybody makes mistakes. And she would be like, she'd be like, but why is it your mistake? And I'd be like, it literally is. I dropped a bowl of soup on my cat or whatever. And she'd be like,
guys, our relatable problems.
Yeah, totally. Just the most easily my fault thing.
I keep dropping soup on my cat.
So she wasn't right for me. Just like, that's the reason AA wouldn't work for me.
Yeah.
Because I just need it to be, I need to have the responsibility. Some people, in order to get through issues, need to process outside of responsibility. AA will work for them. That type of therapist will work for them. And it's that kind of shit, if it vibes with you. Another reason she was bad for me, though, is that at that point, all we were talking about was abandonment. And one day she was like, I'm pregnant, so I quit. And I was like, you could have softened that up a little bit to the person who is fucked up over getting abandoned by people. But okay.
You're like, I'm a baby, though.
Yeah.
I'll be your baby. Yeah. I'll steal your baby.
Let me hang out with your baby.
Why are you leaving?
Come back. Be my womb.
This has been a really amazing episode.
It's been fun.
Really enjoyed it, man. Let's do a quick hype for the merch we put out.
Yeah, suicidebuddies.threadless.com. We got y'all ever shirts, feeling shirts, and also I put up a shirt that's just a picture of Hampton and I, and no one has bought that, and thank God.
I was saying, the person who buys that will kill us.
Yes.
That will be our murderer.
Totally.
Which I welcome. Yeah. If you think you've got it, fucking bring it.
Yeah. Wow. That's so funny. And now begins the death race.
Of
course, our Patreon, patreon.com/suicidebuddies. We have bonus episodes up there. We got another one coming out next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we just put up an episode, the one with Georgia? Coming out next week? Okay.
It's already out.
It's already out, yeah.
So we got another one next week.
Aristotle on mic, Aristotle being hysterical, and we got Georgia Brooks on mic, and it was a
I haven't listened to that yet. You went on mic, episode. Dude?
Yeah.
What the fuck? We got to do that more. I love it when Aristotle grabs the mic.
Special Patreon.
Throws down, dude.
He throws it down.
All right, guys, go get your Bustin' Cream Pies.
Bustin'.
And this was a great Bustin' episode.
We love you guys so much. Glad you're alive. Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to Suicide Buddies. We hope to see you again next week. Just a quick reminder, if you are experiencing suicidal thoughts, feeling like killing yourself, talk to someone, please. We take it very seriously. We joke around about suicide here because we've thought about it, because joking is how we deal with it, and we hope that it helps you. But if you're really thinking about it, we want you to stay here with us. Call 1-800-273-TALK, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. They're incredible. They're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They will help. You are loved. Thank you again for listening. See you next week.